नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कृतु वाचा भो सुता हे मगध सौम्य वंद्य लोके अधुनस्पस्त गुणस्य मे शत किं अश्वयो मे स्वाव एष योचतम मा मै मयि अभुवं वितत गिरो महा विचुवाच कौशुत हि मद कौशुम्य कौशित हि मद गा सुम वंद्य लोकी अधुनस्पष्ट गुणा समीष्यत किमाश्रयो मे स्तवेश योजतम् मा मयि अभूत्वं वितत गिरो गोसुत हि मगधा सुम्यावन्द्य लोकी यतुनस्पष्ट गुणस्य मे सत् किमाश्रयो मे स्तव एष योजतम् मा मयि अभुवं वितत गिरो गोसुत हि मगधा सुम्यावन्द्य लोकी गुणस्पष्ट गुणस्य मे सत् आश्रय मे स्तवेश योजतम् मा मयि अभुवं वितत गिरो गा पितुर्वाच King Bhikkhu said, Bhosutta, O Sutta, He Magadha, O Magadha, Somya, gentle, Bandin, O devotee offering prayers, Loke, in this world, Adhuna, just now, Aspashta, not distinct, Gunasya, whose qualities, may, of me, Shat, there may be, Kim, why, Ashraya, shelter, may, of me, Shtava, praise, Eshaha, this, Yojatam, may be applied, Ma, never, Mayi, unto me, Abhubam, Va, Pitatha, in vain, Gira, words, Ba, Yo. Translation. And purple by divine grace of Ananda in the Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So I read from verse 11. So 11 through to 22. The learned brahmanas, who were very attached to the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, then arranged for the king's coronation. People from all directions collected all different paraphernalia for the ceremony, thus everything was complete. All the rivers, seas, hills, mountains, serpents, cows, birds, animals, heavenly planets, earthly planets, and all living entities collected various presentations according to their ability to offer to the king. Thus the great king, Prithu, exquisitely dressed with garments and ornaments, was coronated and placed on the throne. The king and his wife, Archi, who was also exquisitely ornamented, appeared exactly like fire. The great sage continued, My dear Vidura, Kuvera, presented King Prithu with a golden throne. The demigod Varuna presented him with an umbrella that constantly sprayed fine particles of water and was as brilliant as the moon. The demigod of air, Vayu, presented King Prithu with two whisks, chamaras, of hair. The king of religion, Dharma, presented him with flower garland which would expand his fame. The king of heaven, Indra, presented him with a valuable helmet. And the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, presented him with a scepter with which to rule the world. Lord Brahma presented King Prithu with a protective garment made of spiritual knowledge. Bharati Saraswati, the wife of Brahma, gave him a transcendental necklace. Lord Vishnu presented him with a Sudarshan disc. And Lord Vishnu's wife, the goddess of fortune, gave him imperishable opulence. Small purple. All the demigods presented various gifts to King Prithu. Hari, an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Upendra in the heavenly planets, presented the king with a Sudarshana disc. It should be understood that this Sudarshana disc was not exactly the same type of Sudarshana disc used by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna or Vishnu. Since Maharaj Prithu was a partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's power, the Sudarshan disc given to him represented the partial power of the original Sudarshan disc. Lord Shiva presented him with a sword with a sheath marked with 10 moons, and his wife, the goddess Daruga, presented him with a shield marked with 100 moons. The moon demigod presented him with a horse made of horses made of nectar. And the demigod Vishvakarma presented him with a very beautiful chariot. The demigod of fire, Agni, presented him with a pole made of horns, of goats and cows. The sun god presented him with arrows as brilliant as sunshine. The predominating deity of Bhuloka presented him with slippers full of mystic power. The demigods from outer space brought presentations of flowers again and again. This verse describes the king's slippers were invested with mystic powers. Thus, as soon as the king placed his feet in the slippers, they would immediately carry him wherever he desired. The mystic yogis can transfer themselves from one place to another whenever they desire. A similar power was invested in the slippers of King Prithu. The demigods always traveling out of space gave King Prithu the art to perform dramas, sing songs, play musical instruments, and disappear at his will. The great sages also offered him infallible blessings. The ocean offered him a conch shell produced from the ocean. The seas, mountains, and rivers gave him room to drive his chariot without impediments. And the Sutta, a Magadha, and a Vandi offered prayers and praises. They all presented themselves before him to perform their respective duties. Text 21. Translation. Thus, when the greatly powerful King Prithu, the son of Vina, saw the professionals before him, he congratulated them. To congratulate them, he smiled, and with the gravity of vibrating clouds, with the gravity of the vibrating sounds of clouds, he spoke as follows. King Prithu said, O gentle Sutta, Magadha, and other devotees offering prayers, the qualities of which you have spoken are not distinct in me. Why should you praise me for these qualities when I do not shelter these features? I do not wish for these words to go in vain, but it is better that they be offered to someone else. Therefore, the prayers and praises by the Sutras, Magadhas, and Avandis all explain the godly qualities of Maharaj Prithu, for he was a Shaktivesha avatar, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the qualities were not yet manifested, however, King Prithu very humbly asked why the devotees should praise him with such exalted words. He did not want anyone to offer him prayers to glorify him unless he possessed the real qualities of which they spoke. The offering of prayers was certainly very appropriate, for he was an incarnation of Godhead. But he warned that one should not be accepted as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without having the godly qualities. At the present moment, there are many so-called incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but these are merely fools and rascals whom people accept as incarnations, although they had no godly qualities. King Prithu desired that his real characteristics in the future might justify such words of praise. Although there was no such fault in the prayers offered, King Prithu Maharaj indicated that such prayers should not be offered to an unfit person who pretends to be an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Taraha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Ram. So here we see the Prithu Maharaj has just been churned from the body of Vena, and he's being offered prayers by all these different personalities and gifts. But he's saying, why you are worshipping me? Why you are offering this praise? I haven't done anything yet. Let me do something, then you can say something about me. But I've just appeared from the body of Vena, so why are you offering me praise? Praise, if you do something, that's okay, but if I haven't done anything, what use is the praise? say understood that he was the incarnation of the Supreme Lord and that he would do something great, but to set example, he was, and actually this is the first thing he is speaking, his opening statement, and it's actually full of great humility, so he's exhibiting his qualities immediately of humility, which is the greatest quality that we can possess, because humility means if we consider ourselves lower than a straw in the street, devoid of all false sense of false prestige, and more tolerant than the tree, and ready to offer respects unto, then we can chant the holy names. Otherwise we cannot chant the holy name. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, we should wear this as a mala, a necklace around our neck, Janata Pishanishi verse. Otherwise, it's not possible to become a devotee of the Lord. So Prithu Maharaj, he is the incarnation of the Lord, but he's going to act as a devotee, as a king, as a representative of God. So he'll be acting as a devotee. So we can see from the very beginning, he has this quality of humility, completely the opposite to King Vaina, who was so puffed up, he declared him almost equal himself to be Vishnu. But here we have the actual Vishnu incarnation, that he's saying, why are you offering me prayers? So, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gives some nice comments on humility. Gave one lecture called the Humbler Than a Blade of Grass. That's a very famous lecture. I'm reading from the very original. But this is also included in the Bhaktisiddhanta Vikash? Vaibhav? Vaibhav. By Bhakti Vikash Mart. Very good book. So, this was given in February 24, 1924. Long time ago. Anyway, he says, it is only when we have the occasion to listen to the praises of the Supreme Object of all praises from the Master, and they react in our heart, that we may learn about our utter worthlessness. Their profound humility and obedience teach us it is never possible to approach God and His devotee except by such humble submission. If we learn to be arrogant, we will surely be deprived of the service of God and of His devotees for good. There are persons who do not worship His devotees by worshipping God. Verily, they are arrogant persons, and they are not worshippers of God. So, anyway, he starts, it's only when we have the occasion to listen to the praises of the Supreme Object of all praises from the Master, and they react in our hearts, then we may learn our utter worthlessness. So this has to be understood. We have to come to the point of understanding our utter worthlessness in this world. What can we do practically? We're bound up by these laws of material nature. We're growing old. We have absolutely no power to do anything about it. We're becoming diseased. We cannot stop it. We're going to leave this body. We can take birth again, unless we are remembering Krishna. But at every moment we're bound like a walnut. We're bound up in material activity. So we have to come to this conclusion, instead of thinking, no, this material world is mine to enjoy, I'm the controller and enjoy it. It's a grand illusion. We have to admit, we're not the controllers, we're not the enjoyers. This is our position, we're completely worthless. What can we do? We can't even move a little finger without the sanction of the Lord. But even then we can't move it. We can simply desire to move it. Hare Krishna. We can't desire to move it. So this is our worthlessness that you know, actually we can't do anything, but we're so absorbed in identification with the body and what I can do with my hands, my eyes, my nose, my tongue, all of my senses, but actually we can't do anything with it. We can simply desire to use them, and then the activities are carried out by the material energy. So when we we can learn about our utter worthlessness. Now how do we learn about our utter worthlessness? He said it's only when we have the occasion to listen to the praises of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the Supreme Master, Krishna, or the Guru. So only when we hear from Guru our situation, our position in this world, then he said those words, then it will begin to act. But unless we hear submissively, these words will never act. If we don't understand our position by hearing from the Guru repeatedly, it will never act. And you see, any lecture you listen to a Prabhupada, he's saying the same thing again and again, every lecture, guaranteed. You know, how we're bound up in this material world, how human life is meant to get free from this world. Again and again he's saying the same thing. So we have to hear that sound vibration, because that's what's going to activate everything we do. If we want humility, if we want to understand our worthlessness, if we want to chant Hare Krishna, we have to understand it. It has to come from this sound vibration that we hear from Guru and Krishna. It comes through Guru. Unless we're convinced of that sound vibration, the effect won't be there in our heart. Harinama, 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 itakevalam, kaluna, stiva, nastiva, nastiva. This is the Yuga Dhamma. What is the Yuga Dhamma? It's a sound vibration. So that sound vibration we've got to hear from the Guru, coming from Krishna. When we're convinced about that sound vibration, then we can chant Hare Krishna. Then we can start to understand how worthless we are. What is our situation here? And it means becoming convinced when you hear it. It's a sound vibration, I'm hearing this. And it will have effect if I'm convinced and put it into practice. Not because of my chanting Hare Krishna, not because of my qualities, but because of my implicit faith in that sound vibration from the lips of a pure devotee. That's what's going to act in this world. It's all about sound vibration coming from Krishna through his pure representatives. That is the basis of our everything, our material life and devotional life. So, anyway, this is what he's expressing here. So if the same devotion with which we worship God is not aroused in our hearts to the feet of his devotees, then we are rendered perfectly worthless. We would have lived in vain. If we only worship Krishna, the deity, but we don't worship the devotees, we're actually representatives and carriers of the message, the sound vibration of Krishna, then the worship is worthless. Rupa Goswami or Jiva Goswami says the same thing, that if you worship the deity whole life, very expertly, but you don't appreciate how the same Lord is situated in the heart of other devotees, then it's useless. It's still neophyte, you haven't even got off the neophyte platform. Whole life you're worshipping God. But if you haven't understood that the same Lord you are worshipping is in the heart of every devotee, that worship is useless. Krishna doesn't like it said. So he says all of these, I see everyone as my guru, but this is not so much what the guru is saying. All the devotees I'm seeing as my gurus. You can worship them there. Because all of them are instructing me about the highest service of God. May we be ever ready to sweep away from our hearts by the rough application of 100 pointed broomsticks, the wicked design of desiring to be honored about others by the devotees of God. We want praise, want to be praised by devotees and think we're greater than devotees, or we're the greatest devotees. He said this is this wicked desire to be praised, especially greater than other devotees. Because the devotees, Krishna gives himself to his devotees. If I think I'm greater than a devotee, that thinks I'm greater than Krishna. Because Krishna gives himself to his devotees. So we have to, especially in dealing with in devotional circles, we have to be careful of this point. And we should be prepared to sweep away from our hearts by the rough application of 100 pointed broomsticks this wicked desire of wanting to be honored above devotees. This is a very nice example Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is giving. 100 pointed broomsticks by the rough application. That's called jaru. It's coconut. You know the coconut palm? Inside the leaf there's a long thin, they rip the leaf off and you get that long flexible stick. It's very hard. But subtle, it's soft, but it's very hard. Then you get a bunch of those together and you bind it up and you have the broom. You've seen it in India, you have seen it. Rough application of the 100-pointed broomsticks. So then you sweep, 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 and you can clean everything. Chetodarpanamajanam, it should be clean from the heart. If it's not happening, then rough application. Rough application means if some of the dirt is not coming when you're sweeping the floor, then you put the broom on it, you lay the broom on the dirt, you put your foot on the broom, and you push with your foot. It rolls and it gets all the heavy, heavy stuff that won't sweep up. If that doesn't work, you use the 100-pointed broomstick rough application. You hold it tight at the end, so just the points are there. And you get down on your hands and knees and you scrub, and you scrub, and you scrub. And you get that dirt up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching that in Gondi Chamajana, Chaitodarpana Mahaprabhu. This is what we need. We have to prepare to do that. Get down on your hands and knees and use that rough application to get whatever it is in our hearts out, especially this desire to be honored among others. And he says that a person is relieved from all ineligibilities by being in part this fitness for service of God. When you're blessed to perform service to God, because it's a gift, devotional service is a gift, when you're actually blessed with that gift of devotional service, immediately you're relieved from all of your disqualifications by that one blessing. In other words, you're allowed to enter into the service of God. In the 7th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, at the end, 28th chapter. Those who have acted piously in previous lives and this life, they're completely purified from all, etc. Only they can take to my devotional service. You have to be purified. So this is actually a blessing. If you get a blessing, ultimately it's a blessing. You can, in that verse it's saying your cultivation, you know, after, from many, many births of becoming purified. Then you can actually attain the service of the Lord. But Prabhupada also uses that verse in saying, no, you chant Hare Krishna because like we didn't even know what piety was coming from the Western countries and things like that. We never even heard of piety. So everything is like impious. But Prabhupada said, yet how can this verse apply to us? If we consider ourselves devotees now, we've taken the devotional service, but Krishna says you've got to perform previous lives full of piety and this life, but we didn't do anything in this life at least. We can understand that was a reaction of our past life, so we all haven't done any pious activities from past life or this life. But Prabhupada said, no, but just see, because you've taken to the chanting of Hare Krishna, see the potency of the Holy Name. Otherwise you should, by rights, we should have spent pious years verse before, performing pious activities to come to the process of devotional service. But Prabhupada said the holy name is so powerful, immediately you can take to the process of devotional service. So this is the potency of the holy name. And then you are actually blessed with devotional service in an awakened state. And then you're relieved from all of your anarthas at that point. You're blessed. So he says that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, many years now passed over me one by one, and at last realized there is no other help for me except the mercy of the holy feet of the Vaishnavas. Every one of my acts is fit to be attacked. I pray to those who look down upon me. He's not considering he's up there, but there someone is looking down on him. I pray to those who look down upon me. If they consider it that it's allowable for me to follow the conduct and teachings of the Vaishnavas, then they would no longer maintain that attitude. If they consider it allowable for me to follow the Vaishnavas, it's not that, you know, I'm going to put my cloth on and my tilak, and now I'm a devotee and I'm following the Vaishnavas, I'm surrendering myself to the Vaishnavas and serving the Vaishnavas. If they think it's allowable that I can serve them, not that I'm making this decision, I'm surrendering to the Vaishnava. If they think it's allowable, then maybe I'd be able to serve them. And then what will they do? They'll kindly communicate their power to me. It's not that I've got the potency, but they'll give to me. And then I can use their power to help other foolish people like myself who are bound up in this material world. In other words, I'm not using it for myself, I'm using it to help others also. But it's their power I'm using, it's not my power, my potency, that I'm a great anything creature. But if they allow me and... if they consider it allowable for me to follow in their footsteps, then their potency, I can try to give to others. So this is a lesson in humility that... anyway, put your mind up and stay close to humility. You see how great it is that we should cultivate this great quality. Today is also Sita, the white consort of Lord Ramchandra's eternal potency, Sitarani, her appearance day today, and Madhu Pandit's appearance day. Madhu Pandit, he worshipped Gopinath deity. This Gopinath deity was given by, it was established by Rajanava, the great grandson of Lord Krishna, 5,000 years ago. And then it got lost over time, like all, most of those deities became lost, but then it became uncovered again by one Paramananda Bhattacharya. The deity was at Vamshivad. At that time there were many invasions by the Mughals, and so they were hiding deities and fleeing out of fear. So this was discovered later on at Vamshivad by one Paramananda Bhattacharya, and it was worshipped by Madhu Pandit, who was living there in Vrindavan. He was a disciple of Bharata Pandit. And also today is the Janabi Devi. So Janabi Devi is the daughter of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. I'm sorry, he's the wife of the daughter of Sujitas Sarakela. Sujitas Sarakela from Ambika Kolna. He's the brother of Goridas Pandit. If you ever go to Ambika Kolna, you'll see the famous temples there of Goridas Pandit, where Gonitai, they left the altar. When Gonitai were going to Puri, then Goridas, he's very
Shubhavasakaya. Shubhavasakaya Krishna is the eternal friend. No, no, you can't leave me. So it's impossible to live without your separation. So then Gaunitai made a deities for him, Gaunitai deities. He said, we are here with the deities. So you can worship us. So he was very happy. Then Gaunitai left and he fell at their feet, don't go, please don't go. They said, you are the deities here. They said, no, I want you to stay. They said, okay, we'll stay then. So they became deities and the deities walked out. So this is going on many, many times. So famous pastime. His brother, he lived right next door to that same temple in Bangki, Ambika Kalna. His brother, Surjidas Shahakala. He got the title Shahakala, it means like leader or something, or some big position. Anyway, he's working for the king of Bodadesh. Immensely wealthy. But he had two daughters, Janava and Vasudha. And he said that these two daughters were the incarnations of Varuni and Bharat and Revati, who were Balaram's wife, because so he had a dream, and then there he saw his daughters, and he saw Nityananda was in the middle, or he had accepted them as his wives. So he was so happy, so he immediately sent a message to Navadvip, to Nityananda Prabhu, explaining his dream. So Nityananda Prabhu was, okay, he agreed to marry them. So then they were married. Here, some people say Shalagram, if you go towards, you go to the National High Road, instead of turning right to Krishnanagar, you turn the other way. And about half an hour, there's a village called Shalagram. So the marriage took place there, but also they were moving around, so that they went to Ambika Kalna, so there's a place there also that celebrated their marriage place. So the party would move around, and they'd stay a few days here, a few days there. So Janabi Devi is the internal potency of Lord Nityananda. Anyway, Janabi Devi was one of the, she was the leader of all the Vaishnavas that time after Mahaprabhu left and Nityananda Prabhu and it. So she became the leader, the Narottam Thakur and Srinivasacharya and Shamananda were prominent Vaishnavas. So she was like considered the leader of the Vaishnavas at that time. And she also went to the Kettari festival, the famous Kettari festival. And she personally cooked for everyone there. And she had the deities of Radharani brought with different for with Krishna. Because at that time, worship of Radharani wasn't very prominent. Krishna was very prominent, but Radharani often, you see old deities more than 500 years ago, generally you won't see Radharani there, people standing. When Mahaprabhu came to establish, you know, Krishna and Krishna in his pastimes and his Parikya Ras. But otherwise it's more or less forgotten over the course of 5,000 years, and Krishna became more prominent as in his Shvakya Ras with his queens and things like that. So you don't see many Radharanis with old deities, but since Mahaprabhu came, then he was promoting Radha and Krishna worship, so then they started making more Radharanis to go with the different Krishnas. So she was also did that. And uh, One time she was touring in Vrindavan and she took bath in the Jamuna and she was getting out and something grabbed her sari, her hand, so she looked down and she saw one black hand was pulling her sari. It let it go, and then it was actually Gopinath, and then he spoke to her that, "No, I want to come and stay with you and accept service when you go back to Bengal, so when you go back I'll appear." So anyway, she went for a tour and then she came back. I think they're building in Karkaha, it's like in between here and Karkaha and Nityananda Prabhu's. Lived there. Anyway, she was taking bath in Ganga one day and again something touched. In the morning she called out, it was a Gopinath deity, but she had spoke to her in Vrindavan. So she was worshipping the deity of Gopinath. And when the Vasudeva the second, the co-wife, Janaki and Vasudeva, she gave birth to a daughter, Gangadasi, who was actually incarnation of Gangadevi. In the spiritual world she was Prem Varamanjari. And she comes as Ganga, and she was born as the daughter of Vasudeva. But when she was born, she wouldn't take her mother's breast milk. And everybody was in complete anxiety because she just wouldn't take the breast milk. So then Nityananda Prabhu understood, so he asked Janabi, "You should initiate this little girl." So then Janabi whispered the Krishna mantra in the baby's ear, and then she took the milk. So otherwise, without getting Krishna mantra, so what is the use of entering into the world if one doesn't have the Krishna's mantra? And so everybody was happy to see the little baby there. So actually, when Gangadasi got married, and then she left home to go to the bridegroom's home, the husband's home, naturally the ladies always cry, they're in complete distress because they've been at home whole life. Now they've got to leave their home, they've got to go to a new home with their husband. And so naturally they always cry, it's part of the wedding scene. So Janabi Mataji said, "You take the deity of Gopinath with you, because you've grown up with Gopinath. We've all lived together in the same house, we're like the same family members, so you take Gopinath with you and you won't feel separation from all your family members." So so then she took Gopinath and she was serving there with Gopinath. And that deity, but there was an instance about 8 years ago, I guess. That one new bhakti, he was a new bhakti, he came to the new bhakti program. He didn't stay so long, but then he left and he got married, and then he came and saw me, he's speaking to me. And because he's from that village, that area, his wife's from that same village. And he said he had an accident, Gopinath had an accident and broke his arm. So they're wondering what to do. So they got one stone mystery, and fixed the arm. And then after some time again it broke. So then Gopinath appeared to the pujari in the dream, and he said that when you have an accident you call the Kaviraj. He said, "When I have an accident you call a mystery, a workman, a stone workman. What is your logic?" So they were, in the morning he woke up and they consulted with this. Some Kaviraj, and then Kaviraj came and he made some special medicine and he put it on and he bandaged the arm. He said, "Leave it for 1 week." And after 1 week they took the bandage off, and today it's okay, everything is healed up. He said that the Janabi Devi, she actually entered into that deity of Gopinath when she finished her pastimes. So, like Nityananda Prabhu also entered into dumping rice, in Eka Chakra, they say, to finish his pastimes. So his consort, Janabi Devi, also entered into the deity of Gopinath. So a very prominent acharya and personality in our lineage. You see how Bhaktivinoda Thakur at the end of every verse of Navadvipa Mahapani, he praises Janabi and Nityananda. He says, "They're my gurus. They've ordered me to write this book." You know, they appeared 500 years ago. He said, "But they ordered me to write this book." So he was, and they are my gurus. He constantly says, "He says that these are my gurus." This is also revealed in the Navadvipa Avataranga. How Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a revelation by the grace of Nityananda and Dambashas, and he actually enters into his eternal sarup, his eternal form, and he sees that his guru is there by his side in the form of Ananga Manjari. So that is Janavi Devi, is an expansion of Ananga Manjari. So then Ananga Manjari is she explains to him who he is, the Dham, and introduces to the other Shakis and Rupa Goswami, Lalita and Vishaka and Radha and Krishna, starts to help with the service to Radha and Krishna. So that's why you see that he's praising, you know, they are my gurus, because they're actually his eternal guru in Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. And this is also another reason why Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation in Nityananda Vamsa. Although at that time there was some discrepancy, they were claiming to be the only rights to be to preach the message of Gauranga. They were becoming a bit past Goswami-ish. Only people born and initiated in this past should be. So, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation into that Sampradaya because it was Nityananda Sampradaya. So out of chastity to his eternal guru, who is a consort of Nityananda Prabhu, then for this reason also he took initiation in the Nityananda Vamsa. Other Vaishnavas say also he took initiation to purify the Sampradaya. Anyway, so they're very prominent characters in our Krishna Consciousness Movement. Nityananda Janabi, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and all the assembled Vaishnavas. Itai go premanandi. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhagavatam ki, Srila Shirada Madhaksham Nanyatu Mahotsav ki. Itai go premanandi.
Jaya Jagadish.